Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have two women, powerful, fantastic women in the studio with me today. Marcia Bench, professional speaker, manifesting and marketing mentor, 26-time author with Conscious Experts Academy, and also the creator of Career Coach Institute that serves students in 50 countries. Welcome, Marcia.
Thanks so much, Karen.
It's fun to see each other again.
It is.
It's been, I want to say, maybe
6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. I was a student of yours, a participant in a 3-day workshop, I believe.
Yes.
With a former business partner, and some really neat friendships launched as a result of that, and so much knowledge. So we have reconnected recently through NSA, and I'm very excited to hear everything that you have going on.
So, yes, a divine synchronicity.
I believe that. And I always like to encourage our guests to think about a power partner, maybe a client or somebody in your sphere to bring to have a well-rounded conversation. And today, Marcia invited Dr. Lynn Cockrum Murphy. She is an energy healer and intuitive, 2-time Amazon best-selling author with 3 books and 1 on the way, and also an international spiritual teacher. Welcome to the studio, Lynn.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you both. And so I'm just, again, looking forward to getting to know both of you and finding out the magic between how the two of you work together as well. So, Marcia, if you could start, you both have so many accolades to your name and to your titles. Can you just give us the short version as to who you are today and your connection with Lynn? And then we'll ask Lynn to do the same and we'll take it from there.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm actually a former lawyer. Don't hold that against me. Former executive. And so I put in my time with corporate. And really, my journey started when I was 14 and I was looking for my life purpose. And nobody around me seemed like they could really tell me what that is or how to find out what it was. And so I just began going to seminars and asking people and going to workshops, reading books. And it took me 18 years to get to where I really felt like I was clear on my purpose. But once I clarified that for myself, 2 things happened. One is that my work became so much more fulfilling because now I understood how to connect it with my purpose. And that's what all of the work that I do is centered around. And so the second thing that happened is I started sharing that with people, started doing workshops, started writing books. And so, every couple of years along the way, since I started my first business in 1986, I've had a new body of work come out. And that's really what it's all about is it's connecting with your purpose, with your heart, with your soul's mission in this lifetime. And, even though that might take many different forms along the way, that's what really excites me is to see people ignite that passion and purpose and put it into a career or a business that really serves their financial needs and their soul's needs as well.
And you've lived that.
Right.
I love connecting with professionals who are open to the evolution of themselves. And clearly that's what you've done forever.
Right.
And did you say 14 you were looking for your purpose?
Yes.
Would you be open to speaking that? That to me is amazing. Like I really personally didn't start figuring out that I had a higher purpose until I was in my, I think, mid-20s. Can you speak to that a little bit? 14 feels young to me, but maybe I'm just a late bloomer.
Well, I think it happens for different people, different times. And sometimes it's as a result of a life tragedy. I didn't connect it at the time, but when I was 12, my parents held the first ever family meeting, and they made the announcement that we were selling the farm that I'd grown up on and moving to an even smaller town in Oregon. So they did that. They bought a business, and 9 months later, my father passed away of brain cancer. Here I am, 13. My mom is a city girl running an auto parts store in a farming town. She's like way overwhelmed, and it was the next year that I identified in my mind anyway, that I started looking for my purpose. So I'm sure there was a connection there. I just didn't make the conscious connection until later.
That's huge. And thank you for a peek behind that curtain. When you're sharing that, I thought, for me, it was about 13. When I was trying to find myself, not necessarily career-wise, but trying to figure myself out, and not unsimilar, our first family meeting was my parents announcing that they were getting a divorce. Mm. And it rocked my world.
Wow.
and took me a long time to heal. And there's still aspects of it that shows up in the healing, right? And I know you two are professionals that help people through that,
right.
Those aspects of ourselves and how to use our stories.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I appreciate you sharing that. So share with us then how you and Lynn came to know each other.
I'm not sure when we first met. I actually ran across your name on a list from before we actually started working together. But she came to my retreat that I did here in Phoenix last year, about almost exactly a year ago, and decided she liked what, well, you can put it in your own words, but my interpretation is you liked what you got and you knew that you needed some additional support. So decided to commit to the year-long mentoring together.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So Lynn, tell us about you and then maybe close that little introduction up with what Marcia just spoke to as to how the two of you have grown together since then.
Okay. I am actually a retired special ed teacher. I worked with mostly students that were very capable, but had like a learning disability or a hearing impairment or so on. And when I retired from that, it was like the world is wide open. What do I want to do? And I had this strong desire to write. And it was like, when you have that, you have to write. You can't ignore it. So I started writing books, and I had already been working in healing and taking classes in healing. So I just went deep with that. And my life has just opened up. And wow, it's rich and deep and warm and loving. And then because I met Marcia and knew what she offered, I went to her conference, said, this is for me. I have to do this now because I know that, you know, I'm a good healer. I'm a good writer. I'm a loving human being. I have a lot to offer, but I don't know anything about business. So that's what she's done for me, is turned that around.
And for, I'm going to say, probably hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh. Thank you.
And
with the books and everything else, it probably does go that far.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know where it feels to sit from that place. I was similar when I was in Marcia's workshop. And all of the professionals around us, these are folks who really feel passionate deep about what they want to bring to the world or have been bringing. But if we're lacking that business sense, it's just a hobby.
Exactly.
I say that with a question mark and a wrinkled nose, but I see this and I've experienced it. It took me probably 7 years to really marry who I am as an individual, a passionate, on purpose and mission professional with that business savvy. So tell us then, what is the most recent things that you're finding when you're working with clients? Has it changed? Has it evolved? Tell us about the upcoming event as well. I know you've got one coming up November 8th, here in Phoenix.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's several different questions there.
It is.
But,
that's okay.
Yeah,
but I can handle
okay,
that.
Okay, good, go.
If there's anything that's changed, even in, say, the 6 years since we saw each other last, it's that people are more open to the invisible powers that be, the manifesting ideas. The Secret has come out, which, you know, wasn't the first time that we learned about the Law of Attraction, but it was the first time it really kind of went more mainstream. And the Law of Attraction is only one of 10 or 12 different spiritual laws that we really want to tap into as we're being successful in business. And here's what's happening, Karen, is those laws are operating in each of our lives.
Whether we're paying attention to
exactly.
it or not.
So we're either doing it by default or we learn more about what those are so that we can use them deliberately and intentionally and strategically. So so that's, I think, the big change. So I attract two kinds of people to my work. Either they're in the spiritual realm, they're healers, they're metaphysically minded, they might be an alternative medicine perhaps even, and they're looking for the business perspective, or they're people that come out of hardcore corporate. I mean, I was a former lawyer. I, you know, did the courtroom thing. I did, you know, lots of business strategy stuff. In fact, that's what I'm more known for than the other side,
even
I realized
still.
A few years ago. Yes. And so those people, like I have had to do, need us to allow in that other part of themselves. They're, you know, allow their purpose to come forth and allow themselves to really come from the heart, especially if they're going to be speaking, because it's all about emotions and you know, the experience that you create. It's not just about the information that you deliver.
I just got this glimmer, this little visit from Pamela Donison in my mind. That's
we met.
I know you do. We met at your workshop, and I didn't remember that till just now. And she's a perfect example of well, I know you've had a huge impact on her career and where she's gone. An attorney as well, specializing in divorce, did not want to stay in the court, the heaviness of that. So she became known as a mediator and really helping families work through that so that it was more of a compassionate experience for obviously the parents and children involved.
And going to her office was an experience like I've never had before you finish
yes.
your story, a water wall and greenery mm. and soft chairs. I mean, it was just, you immediately felt like you just were hugged before you even went into her office to meet with her. It was wonderful.
And a true example of who she is and how she's choosing to show up. And then most recently, since you haven't connected with her in a while, she's writing as well. And now she's offering writing workshops as an outlet for the more analytical business-minded people. So the attorneys, the doctors, people who may not have a creative outlet for themselves. Right. So how fun. She just kind of showed up. Mm-hmm. So maybe she's listening. And mm-hmm. if not, Pamela, shout out to you. Right. So really clear about who you serve and how wonderful it is to have you as a coach and a guide and a mentor around that, because you've lived in both spaces.
Exactly.
And I second what you're saying around having more awareness, and thankfully so, around this, how did you refer to it? This essence of who we are that is not necessarily in our mind and our body, but it's our spirit about
exactly.
us.
Right. The motto for Conscious Experts Academy is bringing higher consciousness to business. And so if you look out around the world and all of the political things that are going on and the violence that we see, there's never been a more important time to do that, to really be able to see through all of those effects to what's true about each individual. You know, they're and Lynn can talk to this, you know, love is at the essence of who we are. And we all have that creative desire, whether we express it through being a lawyer, an accountant, or a graphic designer, or a painter, you know, a musician, whatever it might be. But if that's frustrated, and we start feeling like a number, then that's going to come out in a negative way. It's going to come out in some way that's dysfunctional. So that's part of why I created the Academy, is to really be a container for that kind of message to get out there.
Lynn, as you do your work, who are the people who are most resonate with you?
People that are interested in a spiritual path or already on a spiritual path. People who want change, so maybe in a relationship, in their health, in their work. And so they'll come to me for that. One of my favorites is a woman who knew that she was playing very small and she wanted to go big. So we did multiple sessions. During that process, she discovered things about her husband that she didn't know. She just knew that things weren't what she wanted. And then she discovered more, and then she is now divorced and makes six figures and is doing beautifully and has a wonderful home in the hills here in the valley. And but she needed that support through that process to be able to let go and to see the greatness within her and to be able to let that out into the world.
That's an excellent example. And again, I have a similar personal experience and story within my life as well. Mm. Tell us about, and I think I'm going to botch the title of this up, so I apologize in advance, A Journey with Matahayo.
Oh, we can call him Matthew.
Matthew, thank you. I can do that. A Journey with Matthew. How would you pronounce it, though?
Matthew.
Oh, it is pronounced Matthew.
Right. It's the correct spelling for that word back in ancient times.
Okay. So for our listeners, since this is an audio experience, I want to share the spelling. Mm-hmm. It's M-A-T-I-T-Y-A-H-U, Matthew. Okay. I see it now. So tell us how this book is useful to others.
This book is... the second part of the title is Book One, Awakening. So this book is about the awakening process. Two young men go on a journey and they think that they're just going on an adventure. But what happens instead is this self-realization process gets kicked off, particularly for one of them. Then I would say for people now, it shows that process and you can kind of use it as a guide.
Yeah. So it's as much of a story as also an opportunity to take a look and see what's going on for us.
So it's very much an analogy or an allegory. So, you know, when we think today, Yogananda's teachings in the Self-Realization Fellowship were about self-realization, or Buddha's teachings were about becoming the Bodhisattva or the Buddha within. And this is about us in this time period. reflected from ancient times. And in that process of self-discovery and discovery of the divine and allowing ourselves to change and embrace that.
And you mentioned this is book one. So there's obviously a series. Is the second book the one that you're working on that's getting ready to?
No, this book is not released until November 9th. This is coming out November 9th.
Brand new.
Yes.
And there will be others.
And there are two more. I've already started. Yes.
Oh my gosh. So I only have, I have one book and a little mini book, a children's book. So to sit here with authors who have done multiple books is very exciting. And to what you shared earlier, Lynn, when you have a book to write, you've just got to get it out. It's not unlike childbirth.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me speak to that too for a moment, because I know a lot of people feel that urge to write the book. And they do that, and then they ask the question, now how do I market it?
Yes. What now?
And that is not how I recommend you approach it. Because if you don't think before you write the book about how you're going to engage people into the message, how you're going to create a back end, if you will, for the book, then it'll be a $20 business card, basically. And nothing wrong with that. It's just that you can monetize it so much more if you give it some thought up front. So that's one of the things that we'll help people do at Conscious Client Attraction Live, November 8th to the 10th, is create the programs, the coaching programs and the classes and the other things that can monetize that message and allow that book to be the core or the hub of a business that really thrives and gives you freedom so that you're able to get the message out to many people in much less time than it would require if you're doing like individual book signings or individual clients or those kinds of things. So there's five different business models that we look at. And if you know going in that you're going to use one or several of those and you know how you're going to actually allow people to interact with the book as they're reading it, it's going to be much more successful.
And Lynn, is that part of the, you're nodding your head, yes, is that part of the guidance that Marcia has been able to assist you with over the course of this year?
Well, not just the books. She's certainly taken me places with the books, but also that to look at everything that I do differently, including even when I go on vacation, how to set things up before I go so that there's business coming as soon as I return. And the things that are available on my website are engaging people in the meantime. So it's just changed my perspective on everything. But you mentioned a child's book. A friend of mine wrote a children's book, and she's like, God wants me to put this out. So she did, and she did no other work with that. Well, no one's read her book, you know, except for a few close friends. And it makes me sad for her because she's not in embracing the, I've got to do the rest. I've got
the
to do
business
the full
side.
Work.
Right. Yeah. The business side. There is a business side to being an author, just as there is a business side to being a healer, an intuitive, a spiritual teacher, a dentist, a doctor, a radio owner, radio studio owner. And thank goodness that you're there to guide us through that. One of the new things that I noticed in the information you shared, at least I think it's new since we've connected, are the eight chakra business types. Mm-hmm. Is that new?
It is new.
I mean, new as in the way it's been presented for. Yes. Okay, so tell us about that.
Yeah, really started deciding to bring my spiritual side more out of the closet a little over a year ago. And then began to build this brand, and it's been a year in the making. And so one of the things that we map out is we map out the eight stages of building your business, and each of those is connected to a chakra. And we also can help people determine, you know, what is their chakra business type. And in other words, let's take a really easy example, a relationship coach. They're working with the heart chakra, right? They're helping people connect to their heart chakra and then radiate that out to attract usually their mate, you know, or someone that they want to bring into their life. Some are not quite that straightforward. But once we understand what the chakra business type is, then that affects the language that we use. It affects the colors that we have on our website. It affects all the branding aspects and the communication that we have with our clients so that it really connects with them at that emotional level, that subconscious level. They don't necessarily cognitively know that's happening, but they just know this is my person. This is the person that I want to have help me with this particular issue.
And the benefits of that, when they start to get it and understand it, embody it, and really put it into practice, what begins to happen for those clients?
Well, for the clients and for the business owner, for that matter, it just puts them into that flow state. You know, they're living their purpose. They're filling out the pieces of their life so they feel more whole. And, you know, that usually takes the form of money for the business owner. It might take the form of relationships if in the example that I just gave,
yep.
You know, and then it has a ripple effect in all the other aspects of your life if you're feeling happier, right?
I'm sorry, I've got so excited. I start to interject there. I got to thinking about your comment around the law of attraction, right? So when we're aware and standing in the presence of everything who we are and having everything in sync with that, then of course we are more attractive to that which we are putting our intention on.
Right.
And so the other word that I'm thinking of is abundance.
Yes. Well, certainly. Abundance in whatever form they want that to show
right?
up. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Powerful.
Yes. Thank you.
And will those business types be part of the program on the 8th as well?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's turn back to Lynn then. And is enlightenment possible when you don't live a monastic life?
I like that question. Yes, it is. I think that things have changed from a time period when a monastic life, being in solitude, being contemplative, it was necessary to have a great deal of silence. And so you lived alone or you had lots of quiet time. But here we are in the city. Does it mean that we are denied the spiritual development? So, and everything that is post 2012 has sped up. So spiritual development is very accessible to everyone. In fact, haven't you noticed that like there are yoga studios on every corner and Qigong and Tai Chi, these inner practices that look like exercise, but they're an inner practice at the same time. So the world is really changing and we can go into self-realization, enlightenment, or as I call it in the book, awakening, because that's a very common term now for this process of discovering our true self, who we truly are.
So how would you define then a monastic life? It's just more of solitude, more individual or independent?
It would requires hours and hours of meditation, contemplation, reflection. And usually under the guidance of someone, of a guru or a priest a teacher.
Where we kind of reserve that to, I'm going to say, those people, like the priest or the monk or the student of this soulful spiritual life. And I know for me, sometimes I go, wow, that would be really cool. And I resonate it with, but that's not me. And you're saying that it is me. There's just other avenues in which I can reach that relationship with myself and with spirit.
I think it requires a little bit of being in tune with yourself to know what you need. So for me, it was a lot of study. I read many, many people's books and did study under a few teachers. But it also means that in the morning, I need the quiet time. I need the meditation time.
Absolutely.
I need some journaling time. And then over the years of meditation, I don't sit and meditate as formally as I used to, because now it's a process of I'm in the car and I'm going somewhere and I have extra time and I pause and say, guide me. What do I do with this extra time? Where would you like me to be? What is the highest and best right now? And then being able to hear that guidance. And that's what, when we learn to do that, then you live in the flow.
Were you always intuitive in this way? I know you mentioned that you had a special education background. I was a teacher and assistant principal for years as well, elementary age kiddos. And I know I've always had that soulful side of me where I've asked those very questions, guide me, how will you use me today? Tell us about that transition that I know that you've spoke a little bit to it, but have you always had this insightful part of yourself?
I think I have, in that I remember my mother used to ask me questions like, you know, Lynn, why are people like this in the world? And I think she thinks I know the answer to that. Oh my goodness. I would do my best to answer. But I remember having some intuitive moments as a teenager. And I remember that I was reading things like Psychology and Alan Watts and Be Here Now by Ram Dass as a teenager. So that part of me was a seeker quite young. Mm-hmm. I come out of a very traumatic situation. Our home burned down when I was 2.5. My dad died. My sisters died. My mother wasn't home at the time. I was the only survivor of the fire.
Oh my gosh.
So from that trauma, and then my mother remarried, and then he died in a logging accident. And there were other things too besides that. Then the dysfunction got rolling in the family, the alcohol problem. So from all that, I had a choice. Did I want to not cope with the pain in life and lose myself? Or did I want to find another way? And that's what I did.
Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Mm-hmm. We recently had a few professionals in, and we were talking about trauma-informed workplaces. Mm. And getting to know Andy Maurer, who is the therapist who kind of said, let's have this segment. It was the first time I had heard that term used that way. But it's so important because we all come from experiences. Mm-hmm. And in some way, shape, or form, we've had trauma, right? The story that you've just personally shared, I mean, I look and I think, oh my goodness, how can one possibly survive that loss? And yet, you had no other choice. And what's so great about these kinds of conversations, to both of your points, we are becoming, I believe, finally more okay with speaking about this in the workplace and being candid about where we are in our healing and our growth and where our story fits into what's happening for us in the present, but also where we're going in the future. So I appreciate you both being so candid about how you've landed where you are and why you are such important teachers and guides for us.
Now, instead of having the stigma of going to a therapist, you have the prestige of having a coach.
Wow.
Right?
I love that. Yes.
Mm. And I share those things because Marcia encourages me to, that, you know, don't keep it locked up in secret. It helps other people to know that they're not alone. Exactly. And it helps people connect with us and that they can rely on our strength when if they don't have theirs at the moment.
Thank you. Absolutely true. Yeah, because I would never want to go to a coach or a therapist who hasn't walked, in my opinion, their own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say their own difficult past. I mean, I don't need it to be mm-hmm. gut wrenching, but I need to know that when I work with somebody, and I have had plenty of coaches and guides and mentors and therapists in my life, I want to know that they've had walked their own path. Yeah, Lynn, you use words like source and creator and consciousness as if they're interchangeable with God. Is that the case?
I think that they are, and I've found so many clients and students that must have had a bad educational experience with religion, and so they're very turned off to that, the term God and religion, but they're open to their spirituality. So if I use terms like source, creator, and the totality is one of my favorite words, the divine, then they feel safe and it works. You know, God bless the people who wrote Star Wars and talked about the Force. Because
right.
for a long time, that was what we used. And it gives a great image of something enormous, something great that we can't put our finger on, but you can utilize it in your life. You can be a part of it and connected.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you speak to that in your workshops and your work with clients as well.
Yes, exactly. Anytime we go through these kinds of life experiences, if we don't have something outside the physical realm to call on, you really can feel lost. And I've changed my religious perspective over the years. I had a major shift in college, and because it didn't fit anymore the way that I had been trained as a child. And but I've always had that connection. And so I think it's critical that we learn to rely on higher power. I mean, in the recovery movement, that's what we call it, any kinds of words that might make sense, but that we have a practice that cultivates our awareness of that. We teach intuitive coaching as part of my coach training program that we offer, and that wasn't in there in the beginning. It was one of the things that we added along the way because I learned coaching from someone who was very cognitive in his approach. He was very, very brilliant guy, and I learned a lot of things from him, but it seemed like we were leaving out some of the following the intuition as the session really unfolded. And so one thing I think that's important is to learn to follow that intuition in small things first. in, you know, who's calling without looking at the caller ID, or, you know, where am I feeling, am I feeling drawn to go a different direction than what the GPS is telling me to get home today because I'm going to be avoiding an accident, whatever it might be, so that when it's important and you're in a coaching session or you're making an important life decision, that you know how to hear the voice of that intuition. Because if we each talked about how it shows up for us, it'd probably be different. So, you know, for some people, it's a physical sensation. Sometimes it's a voice. Sometimes it's an image. So I'm just learning, you know, what is the language of your intuition? And how can you harvest that and really draw on that in your everyday life and business?
Learning to pay attention and practicing is what I hear from both of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Lynn, is that some of the work that you do with your clients then, really help them to pay attention and draw that out more into their life?
I do a couple things. One is I guide them into a theta brainwave state. It's a very high meditative state. If it would be the equivalent of being asleep, except for that you're awake and you're conscious during it. And so from that place, they have access to greater wisdom, higher guidance. So that's one of the factors. And I got so into that picture, I forgot the rest of your question.
I think that it was just that. Is that the work that you do with clients? As Marcia describes this, we all have the ability to be intuitive. We just have mm-hmm. to know how it shows up for us and then practice it. So I was curious if that's really how you work with people.
Lynn goes deeper than that with her theta healing, right?
Yeah. So that's one of the first things that we teach in the first day of the basic theta healing class. The other thing is I teach a person how to make that connection and stay in that state and then do a reading for a person and do a healing to see their guardian angels and to bring messages. And people learn that in one day. And I think it's because they are already intuitive and then they're guided to come and take these classes and then it just opens up for them and they're amazed. Some people have some blocks, some fear about that, but we move through that pretty quickly. And then all the things that they can now know that they had not had access to before or maybe blocked before, their world just comes wide open.
Oh my goodness. So what is it like to have a client work with you? We mentioned at the beginning of the program that you have clients, international clients. Is it one-on-one? Is it workshops? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more. Like if I were interested in becoming a client, what's the first step? And then what does it look like for me for some of the opportunities?
Because I live in North Phoenix, people here can come to my office and work with me one-on-one. And that's delightful and really comfortable for them. I've put a lot of energy into that room. So it's a safe space and it's beautiful. Secondly, I can work on, it used to be Skype, but we were Skype, Zoom, or just over the phone. And that makes it so that, you know, what my clients in Canada and Russia and so on can work with me. Some people like to travel here and take a class. And most of the classes, well, the theta healing classes are done in person. That's just the requirement of how it works. And my next Theta Healing basic class is November 12th, 3-day class. Then I have two classes created that go with my books. So the one called Unfolding the Mystery of Self, that's on my website. And anyone can go in, purchase it, and just have access to that permanently. The other one is coming up January 13th. It's last 2 months. It's one day a week. It's here in Phoenix, but I'm also going to live stream it. People will have access to it. And that's based on A Journey with Matthew and the awakening process.
And so how do we find you? Where are you as far as the website goes? Mm-hmm. What's the URL?
It's the lynncockrammurphy.com. And you have to put the hyphen between Cockrum and Murphy.
So of course, we'll have this written down and links to it when this is a
Thank
podcast.
You.
But for our listeners who are here live with us today, it is lynncockrum-Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, and then .com?
Yes.
Very good. Exciting. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the growing your business when it comes to having a passion-driven mission. Would you say that niches are still a thing?
Great question. And that was the thing, years ago. And as we're getting into a more crowded marketplace, we have to look in terms of what I call a micro niche now instead. And so that means getting very specific about the problem that you help people solve and the exact right people for that, as well as your brand personality. Because we each have, in addition to the chakra business type, we have a brand personality, which has to do with the, at the subconscious level, archetypes that we're communicating and our own story. So those four elements blended together, that's again something else that we'll talk about at the live event and in the new book that comes out next week, Conscious Client Attraction. That let's say, for example, since I teach career coaching, you graduate as a career coach. That would, a niche in career coaching might be, you know, I work with people that are, you know, looking to make a job transition to, you know, maybe a career change, you know, very general people, career change. I mean, there's millions right. of those people, right? So to turn that into a micro niche, we would want to get specific about maybe the group that I want to work with is software engineers, and the specific problem I want to help them solve is developing their people skills so they can be more effective in interviewing, since they're so used to technology, sometimes the face-to-face thing really throws them, and then be more successful in getting a new job. So that would be more like a micro niche, and you can see how you immediately have people either come to mind, or you're one of those people that could benefit from that. You know immediately, and effect is not happening, then it's not narrow enough yet.
So, wow, that's really important. It helps me remember about the time that I was introduced to you and your work. I was, and I spoke to this just recently at NSA, I was finishing up as an integrative coach professional. And at the time, I thought, everybody needs coaching, which I still believe. But
right.
But if I'm saying that to everybody, I'm really not specific enough and attracting the people I want to work with. And so through your help and the help of another coach as well, I got really clear about mother-daughter relationships. Mm-hmm. And that became my micro niche. It was, you know, not just relationships, but it was mothers, daughters specifically. Mm-hmm. And that really took off. And I don't know if you find this with your other clients as well, but once I was really clear about that and declared that and had everything centered around that, my speaking opportunities, my workshops, my website articles and all of that, then people began to not only come that needed assistance to nurture and grow their mother-daughter relationships, but other people outside of that as well. And then I get to decide, maybe some people were asking me, well, do you work with mothers and sons? Do you work with couples? Do you work with business owners and their relationships with the people that they work with? And I could then determine whether or not I wanted to pivot and open up the door for those other little micro niches, or if I should stay in my lane. Do you find that happens for folks when they get great clarity, then sometimes they can open up to, when they're ready, other avenues of business as well?
They can. And the way that happens is with your mother-daughter coaching, I would imagine that there were probably some specific steps that you took them through most every time.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we call that a signature system or conscious signature system in our campus. And so if that system, you become known for that system, then you can apply it to other niches. But that doesn't mean that you would necessarily shift your marketing to only focus on fathers and sons, let's say. You know, you may still have your core marketing around mothers and daughters, but others are welcome to benefit from that because you have a proven system that works in improving relationships anywhere.
That's an important point because it's systematic. There's a routine. There's a structure. For many of those products or services, they could be then duplicated mm-hmm. and serving a wider audience, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Signature system is a pivotal event in a business's development because now all of a sudden you're not reinventing the wheel every time you get a new client. You're not pinch hitting. Now you're still following your intuition. We're not throwing that out the window, but we just know, you know, in order to, let's just say to find a new job, you need to have a strategy for reaching the right employers. You need to have certain, you know, a LinkedIn profile and certain documents are ready. You need to know how to interview. You need to know how to negotiate. And then you need to actually start the job. If any one of those is skipped, it's probably not going to work. But that doesn't mean that in terms of which employers, you're not following the intuition. So it's all embedded in there. It's kind of a dance, if you will. And that's where the strategy and the consciousness really relate to each other, is in incorporating both together.
I think inherent to that conversation, too, is why it's so important to have someone like you in on our team and working with us mm-hmm. in our business.
Exactly.
And you had mentioned when you were talking about your relationship with Lynn, you have year-long programs. And mm-hmm. can you speak to a little bit about that? So we've got the workshops and books and that sort of thing. But when someone says, well, I'm ready, as Lynn said, I need this now, I mm-hmm. think were your exact words. what does that look like for folks?
Yeah, well, we have a couple of different levels of services that we offer over the course of a year, and we meet quarterly for live retreats, but we also meet three times a month on a conference video conference line. In addition to that, we have our Conscious Client Attraction Blueprint system that they get immediate access to, and that's the curriculum, if you will, for going through the process of building your business or rebranding your business or growing your business is making sure that you have each of those elements in place, that your consciousness is aligned, that you're tapping into the laws of attraction. And as you can just tell as I talk about that, that isn't something you do in a weekend. It's something that takes a little longer. And I never am without a coach myself. The model that I love the most and that I use in delivering our services is a group model, because then I'm surrounded by a community of people that are also on a similar path, and they're able to support each other. And not just when I'm not, you know, the coach isn't there, but just simply, you know, to have that community, you know, because we're looking for connections today. We're lacking those, and many people are. And, you know, suicide rates are going up because people are feeling so isolated. Technology is causing us to feel isolated. And so this is one way that we can actually not only have opportunity for joint venture partnerships and all kinds of other benefits, but just have that support and that community and that kind of a substitute family, if you will, in the context of growing your conscious business. I've been married for almost 25 years with my partner for 27 years, and he's an employee. He retired 20 years ago from a high-tech company. He is an employee, and that's his mindset. And so even though he's been with me all these years and I've been self-employed almost the entire time, he doesn't get it. And a lot of our family members don't get it. My mom didn't get it before she passed in June. It just was like a different way of thinking, different way of approaching the world. You have to write, so you have to be an entrepreneur if that's the kind of mindset that and heart set that you have. And so it's just such a, oh my gosh, these are my people kind of experience when you get into a coaching group and you're like, they get it. They understand how big of a triumph it was that I got this many people on my list from that last launch, or that I really was able to speak my truth in this scenario when just yesterday someone was saying they approached someone about their services and they normally wouldn't have, because it was like that person was a little ahead of them, but they knew they could use some guidance in the area of their messaging. So, you know, it's just, it creates that sense of validation, I guess you'd call it, by being in a situation like that. So I love working with people in that way. And we're just now opening up our groups for this next year.
Okay. It's a great, powerful format, and kind of the wreath on the door, or the opportunity to really to get to know you and your systems and structure and what you have to offer longer term is through this November 8th event.
Right.
It could be a come once and get what you need out of it.
Could be.
But also the invitation is open there to stay and play longer.
Exactly.
Right. Very good.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about the upcoming book. You kind of just planted a seed and then walked away and planted a seed and walked away. Tell us about the book then.
Well, the way that I write my books is I teach it first and then I turn it into a book, which is, I know, different from what most people do. But when I stare at a blank screen, like a lot of people, you're like, you get writer's block. What am I going to put on this screen? Well, let's see. I've had this experience. I have this system that I can know needs to fit together and that people need to learn. So I'm going to teach it. I'm going to get some stories. I'm going to, you know, incorporate their feedback into the final product. So that's what Conscious Client Attraction is. The subtitle is 8 Simple Secrets to Growing Your Expert Business While Nourishing Your Soul. So it's combining that strategy, the life purpose, the mission, the micro niche, the signature system, the conscious communication and outreach through your marketing, the sales, all of it into a step-by-step system with the laws of attraction and creation, as well as the chakras. So it's coming out a week from today, actually, November 1st.
So I'm having a lot of visuals as we're chatting. I just got another one. When you're describing the book and sharing with us the name, I thought to myself, it's a warm blanket with a strong cup of coffee. Right? Like your
has to be Starbucks.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just this warmth and this nurturing, and by golly, let's get down to business and put it into high gear as well. Mm-hmm. That nice warm balance between the two.
Yeah, put it into high gear. But there's one of the most significant books I've ever read. It's only 50 pages. It's called U Squared by Price Pritchett. And he makes this very important point that when we make the quantum leap into that exponential improvement in our performance, it doesn't require more work. Mm-hmm. It requires that we really get into something that is more simple, more elegant, more precise, and it requires following our guidance and our intuition to do that. But then we find ourselves, living in this new plane of existence. And yes, we're in high gear, but we feel like we're just kind of floating. It's that weird kind of dichotomy.
And it seems counterintuitive. It seems like we're working against ourselves if we take more time to go inward, and yet that's really where the growth is.
And some days, I know you do this too, Lynn, right? Some Wednesday, right after lunch, I'm like, I don't feel like working anymore today. I'm going to go have a massage. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go shopping. And you come back and there's two sales, just from taking a break, taking good care of yourself.
When you have the structure, though, because yes. I know a lot of budding entrepreneurs who are in startup mode, I think they see us, and I'm using that term very loosely, but they'll see more seasoned business owners doing that. And because they're more esoteric and more with the flow, they'll do that. And then they'll come back to the computer and wonder why there isn't, sales sitting there. It's because they don't have the structures in place to provide that opportunity. Kind of like you were speaking to, Lynn, about the vacation where Marcia has helped you say, listen, yes, you must go on vacation and good for you. And it's an and, right? And you want to make sure that things are already set up in your structure so that your business continues to be present for others while you're away.
That's it, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right, Marcia, how can folks get a hold of you? Where do we find you and sign up for the 3-day event that begins on the 8th?
Well, thanks for that invitation. My website is consciousexpertsacademy.com, and you can see all of the different upcoming events and our mentoring opportunities. The new book will be there shortly as well. It's on pre-order at Amazon right now, called Conscious Client Attraction. And the event is consciousclientattractionlive.com. That's a shortcut link that'll take you right to the page that describes that. We have a very, very low early bird rate, good through the end of October. And for all 3 days, and all the guest speakers, the reception, the beautiful venue that we've chosen in North Phoenix. It's a brand new hotel. It hasn't even been open a year yet. So we really invite you to come if you're a consciously minded entrepreneur and you're looking to either get a solid foundation in your business, you're looking to rebrand, you're looking to up level, or you're just simply wondering, why do I feel like I'm up against the glass ceiling? Something's blocking me and I don't know quite why. It's probably energetic. And so we're going to do some actual hot seats and energy clearing in real time there.
I have a couple folks that I'm going to refer to you.
Okay,
yeah, they're poking me on the shoulder.
Yes.
Tell us 3 tips that you can give us about implementing conscious client attraction into one's business.
Okay.
A little snippet, teaser.
All right, a little teaser. First one would be to make sure that you're really choosing the business, the promise, if you will, your micro niche from the inside out, that you're not choosing it based on the latest list of the top 10 businesses to start this year, because 70% of the jobs that are going to be done 10 years from now don't even exist yet. So don't base it on that. Base it on where your passion is. And if you don't know what your life purpose is, go to our website. We have a free gift that can help you discover that, the four clues to doing that. Secondly would be to continuously update your knowledge, your awareness, your practices around reaching your ideal customers and clients, because it is constantly changing. That's one of the reasons that I have a mentor and it's that I continue to update my clients, because Facebook's algorithm changes frequently, for example. That's just one outlet. So be sure that you're updating your approach and that you're connecting from the heart in those messages too. There are various kinds of messages that are working well right now, and they all have to do with sharing from a deeper place within you. And then third is that we sometimes get hung up with the idea of doing sales as helping professionals, as coaches, as healers, as other kinds of people that want to make the world a better place. And so changing our languaging around that's the first step. So we call it conscious client enrollment instead. And it's really all about just helping someone do what they already want to do. They wouldn't have approached you if they didn't. So we have a roadmap for having that conversation with people. We're going to share that at the event. But just shift your mindset around that. My dad was a used car salesman. So I got oriented to the old style approach, and it doesn't work anymore, in our current marketplace. So those are the 3 things, just kind of as a few teasers to get started. Mm.
Great, great information. So, Marcia Bench, one more time, how folks can find you, both your website and where are you on social media?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, not on Twitter as much as I'd like to be, but I do have a presence there. But ConsciousClientAttractionLive.com for the event, and either MarciaBench.com or ConsciousExpertsAcademy.com for our primary website.
Wonderful. And Dr. Lynn Cockrum Murphy, again, where can we find you? And are you on social media as well?
I am on social media. I have a couple of pages and groups in Facebook, and I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn. Oh my gosh, Instagram, all the fun stuff. And then my website again is lynncockrummurphy.com with a hyphen between Cockrum and Murphy.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure to get to know both of you more. Well, again, to see Marcia, and hoping we get to stay connected.
Yes.
And Lynn, what a wonderful introduction to you and everything that you're doing on behalf of, I'll say, our world, really helping to make it a more soulful place and helping us become more intuitive and aware of who we are and how we show up in the world. It's been a great pleasure. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism of Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.